Sonnenberg State, 2012 CP 4391, for Mr. O'Connell's petition for instruction, Elliot Bernstein, statement of claim, and a request for reimbursement.
Good morning, Your Honor. Brian O'Connell, person representative of the Simon Bernstein Estate.
Alan Rose, counsel for Ted S. Bernstein.
John Morrissey, here for Molly Simon, Eric Bernstein, Michael Bernstein, and Alexander Bernstein.
That's trustee.
Jeff Roy, for claimant William Stanford.
Elliot Bernstein, pro se.
Okay.
Your Honor, my here is giving it. A copy, but let me just give you a summary of this. It has to do essentially with some claims that Elliot has filed. There are two statements of claims. However, they were timely filed within the statutory time frame. I had a discussion with him. I mentioned that to him. And at that point, he chose not to file a petition to extend time, but perhaps he's still going to because he wanted and raise an issue with me that I really put forth in here, Your Honor, that has to do with a section of the will, and it's talked about in section 4 of my petition, and it's pretty much quoting from the will itself, which he's...
Let me read it.
Sure. Yeah, Your Honor, of course, we've seen the language. That's what Elliot was making his sort of argument, all friendly argument to me asking for reimbursement. But I'm still, as a fiduciary, left with, I think, a gap in the standpoint. I still need a claim that's valid to constitute a debt to allow for the reimbursement. But if we wanted to tee this, and Elliot disagreed with me, wanted to tee this up for a hearing, get one more issue resolved in connection with the estate and move forward.
So I'm not sure though what you want me to do.
At this point, in terms of, I'm asking the court, is, I guess, am I allowed to make a payment of these items or not? That would be the question that I would pose to the court, given the procedural posture and the arguments. I'm gonna let, obviously, Elliot speak for himself and the other counsel speak for themselves, but that's what I'm posing to you.
I can't give you an advisory opinion on that. I don't think that's proper for me to do. If I had to give one, it would say follow the law.
Okay.
And, in all respects, which I'm sure, you will do. And so, the way this works is if someone asks you as personal representative to do something, you act as a personal representative. And so if someone asks you to reimburse, as you described Elliot's doing, you have to make a threshold decision on, as personal representative, on what it is that you're legally allowed to do.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know of any other way of dealing with that subject. It has to come from you because you're the fiduciary responsible for those decisions. I mean, you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I'm just getting, given the nature of this, I wanted to bring all this out and let everyone have their say, so to speak, because at this juncture, I really can't, and I understand Elliot's frustration to some extent with this, but I can't do anything without a petition to extend that's been granted that says these claims essentially a timely file, then sure, then we can deal with them. But that's the missing link.
Well, and so if they don't, if what you say you think Elliot should do doesn't take place, then you make a decision on whether you're going to pay or not in the absence
right.
of what you think needs to take place.
Okay.
So,
okay.
not sure what else we need to do for today then as far as this matter goes. Is there something that you want to address?
Well, I just want to be clear. The statement of claim is for claims prior to death. And in the Simon Trust, the reimbursement is for expenses that were paid after he died. And so I'm not sure if a statement of claim actually needs to be filed because it was, I don't have a claim. I have an expense I paid post-mortem, which is covered under the will language, and then it doesn't actually need this. And I've already got approval from the creditor to go forward. They're not going to object. And, you know, my kids.
Okay, so did you discuss that aspect with Mr. O'Connell, that because the monies that you want reimbursed are for your version, bills and expenses that you paid post-mortem that were the obligation of Simon, but you paid them?
I gave him all that. I've discussed it with him. It's in his filing. But I just want to be clear. If he pays under the trust, he doesn't need a statement of claim that's approved by Your Honor, correct?
Maybe this matter is brought in Simon's estate case. Is there a different trust case?
There is, of course, issues involving the trust, but you're right, Your Honor. I'm just talking to you today about the estate, because that's the only thing I have the power over,
right.
The estate, the probate
so
assets.
So you seem to suggest, Elliot, that the reimbursements that you wanted should be paid from
Simon's
trust.
Estate.
From the estate?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Well, then that gets directed through Mr. O'Connell because he's the PR.
Okay. But
different than saying that something should get paid from the trust.
Okay, I might have confused trust estate.
You seem to say that at first.
I might have made a mistake there.
Okay, so if we're on the same page that the issue here is should the estate pay for an expense that you paid, Elliot, that you say was an obligation of the estate to pay, right now, that's not really before me.
And that would need a statement of claim.
I don't know that it would need a statement of claim.
That's right. Okay.
Good. So, just to kind of move along a little bit, if the contention here is that, let me ask this, are statements of claims limited to claims made during the lifetime of the deceased?
Right. You would, a claim essentially would be a pre-death.
Let me ask you this. Here's what doesn't make sense about that. Someone pays a funeral bill, that's done after the decedent dies. So there obviously are bills post-mortem that someone can pay and make a claim for.
Yeah, a funeral expense, typically what would happen there, Your Honor, of course it's paid post-death, but a personal representative would file a PR's proof of claim to cover that, even though it's post-death. Because then you get into typically administrative expenses is what would crop up immediately after death. So those you don't need a claim for, of course, because they're not obligations of the deceased, they're obligations of the administration of the estate.
Okay, so does our statement of claims, that formal process, limited to pre-death claims?
Yes, the only exception is the one you just mentioned that's a little bit strange, okay. Funeral expense.
Do you agree, Mr. Rose, with that legal concept?
I'm not sure what standing they have.
Well, the standing is I asked them a question.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure I understand exactly the construct. I think the claims that Elliot Bernstein has, he's claiming that Simon, while he was alive, had contracted to pay certain third parties. Okay, so I don't know that there's anything that he has a claim that occurred after Simon died.
Well, he says, if I'm reading this right, he's saying that Simon had this obligation that he contracted for. Simon had an obligation.
Yes.
And that after Simon died, Elliot made the payments on that obligation in lieu of Simon, because Simon was dead.
I don't think he actually made the payments to the school. I think the school's owed money. And I don't think it's appropriate to.
Well, this says here, Elliot now requests reimbursement for the debt. His family, Elliot's family, paid for the school. So reimbursement means you paid and you want money back. That's what's written here by Mr. O'Connell. Elliot didn't write that, Mr. O'Connell did.
I gave him the receipts.
I think Mr. O'Connell, I mean,
So is this, I mean, here's the question. Is this a subject that we need to spend a lot of time and money litigating over, or is the disposition of this something that can be done in the ordinary course of probate administration?
I think it's going to have to be litigated, and it's all in dispute, because it's all...
I object.
Hold on. I'm asking him.
Okay.
He's always allowed to respond to me when I ask him a question.
Is he allowed to object to something that is...
He can respond.
Okay.
So, I think what happened is Elliot filed these statements of claim late. Mr. O'Connell said they're untimely.
Right.
So they don't exist until you do something to create them. Then I assume he'll object, and Elliot will file an independent claim, and someone will litigate whether his claim is valid. But essentially, his claim makes no sense, and there's no support. But to the extent that Simon contracted directly with the St. Andrew School, okay? So now Simon owes St. Andrew School money. St. Andrew School has never filed a proof of claim, a two-year, or any claim in these days. Their 2 years have passed. That's done. To the extent that he claims that Simon guaranteed some debts, you know, in other words, if Elliot has debts and Simon says, don't worry, I'll pay those debts for you, that would be an oral guarantee of the debt of another that has to be in a written document that's barred by the statute of frauds. So his claims have no validity. This is a continuing fight for Elliot to get more money, kind of, I call it, off the top out of the estate before you split it among the beneficiaries. So that's the objection.
Mr. Marcy, what do you say to
you? Judge, I think this matter can be disposed of today because Elliot's statements of claim are barred under the statute, and Mr. O'Connell, who's the personal representative of the estate, made that admission earlier. Simon Bernstein died in September 13th, 2012. There was a notice of creditors filed, and the statute is quite clear.
I don't think there's any question
that
from the statement of claim point of view, there's no timely statement of claim.
Right.
So the Mr. O'Connell?
Sure.
Only because there was fraud, and I didn't know that this claim was to Simon. So the production. Okay.
Mr. O'Connell, as the PR, told you earlier that when there's an untimely claim on its face, which there is here, it wasn't filed within 90 days of first publication of that time frame.
Right.
Or something like that. Right.
3 months.
There's still a legal procedure that utilized cure that. Okay.
But then we went past that and he said
so he said
it's not a statement of claim.
That here's what you need to do if you want to get around the fact that the claims are untimely on its face. No one else can do that but you.
Then we discussed that. It's not really a statement of claim because it's not a pre-death obligation to St. Andrews. What happened was we were frauded.
So then
right.
The next part of this is if you say, Elliot, that I don't need to file a motion for extension of time and have that ruled upon, then the question becomes, is there a concept in which a PR can pay what is claimed here by Elliot without going through the right process, you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay, so.
So they don't even need to be here talking about this.
So here's the question. I don't think there's any dispute that there would not be a proper basis right now to pay on the statement of claim. Because they're untimely and they haven't had an extension of time. That's undisputed. But Elliot says there's an alternative theory to get reimbursed. And here's the problem. You could make that request outside of court to Mr. O'Connell, okay, and then Mr. O'Connell as PR can make a decision on that.
That's what he's coming to you for today.
Yeah, but I'm not giving an advisory opinion.
Okay.
So if Mr. O'Connell says yes, then it's PR, and he does what PRs do, and he accounts for it. And then people can deal with that later if they disagree with him. Or if he says no, then
I'll come back.
You have to file something to see whether you have a legal basis for the relief you're asking for, putting aside whether there's a factual dispute. It seems to be both, but if there's no legal basis, we don't even have to get into a factual dispute. So let me ask this. Is there a legal basis to pay other than through a statement of claim process, Mr. O'Connell?
And that's where I'm stuck. I don't think there is without a timely claim, Your Honor.
In the will, Your Honor, there's provisions to pay post-mortem expenses that were paid by third parties.
Is that the quote that he puts in the motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I see that. But Mr. O'Connell says, I don't think I can just write a check out of the PR account to reimburse for a bill that you may have paid.
That's in Simon's name. That's clear as day is in the document.
Well, okay, but
he doesn't dispute that, do you? Brian, are you disputing that?
Disputing which?
That the will has the language to pay a bill that was paid by a third party on behalf of Simon?
It does. It's just that when it's Simon's obligation, I think it has to be set up by a claim being filed to cement that obligation. And that's what we talked about.
So, Elliot, so we're kind of full circle here. Since you're here, let's look at it this way. Rarely is there not law that deals with subjects like this. This is not a matter of first impression. And so the essence of Mr. O'Connell's position is that even for matters that he raises in his petition for instructions pursuant to that clause that he quotes, those still need to be pursued by statements of claim.
Well, I did file statements of claim.
Right, but he says, Mr. O'Connell, that they're untimely.
And I put in why. Okay, I explained the fraud that occurred.
Yeah, but. And then he says that they're untimely, and then he tells you if you want to make them timely because of fraud or some other reason, you have to file petitions for extension of time.
That's what I thought I did here, didn't I?
Okay. And he says you didn't. Let's double check and see if you folks know of anything.
He did, and I can address that as well.
Well, he didn't do it, so if he didn't do it,
okay.
You'll have to address it.
We'll do that today.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do it, so as a result, is Your Honor declaring the statements of claim invalid?
No, because I'm not declaring anything.
Okay,
is there there's a different form than just this statement of claim that I put in why I need an extension?
Well, I don't know what the form is, but there's usually a separate petition for extension of time.
Okay.
Well, I put the statement of claim and extension of time basically together and explained why.
Is that contained in the statement of claim? Is there a petition for extension in that?
He does have in his allegation, let me give it to you.
There are three things set for today, not only Judge O'Brien's motion, but also the two statements of claim that Elliot filed. So Your Honor can, without ruling on Brian's motion today, rule that Elliot Bernstein's statements of claim are barred because they're...
Well, I didn't know that was set, but so the question now becomes, is the, in Elliot's statement of claim, is there a motion for extension of time contained therein?
No, well, that would have to be done separately.
Well, where is that rule required? Where's the word separate in the statute?
Look at paragraph 5, Your Honor. That's
well, second, I'm going to take the statute out because Morrissey is going to tell me where it has to be done separately. And so I have a statute book out. What statute do I look at?
Well, 733.702.
Let me get you. Okay. All right.
Okay. So it would be subparagraph 3. Any claim not timely filed as provided in this section is barred even though no objection to claim is filed unless the court extends the time. An extension may be granted only upon grounds of fraud, estoppel, insufficient notice.
Okay. So Elliot says, without me looking at it, that he filed in his statement of claim, combined together a motion for extension of time based upon fraud. You said something that was not legally proper. I asked you Is it, does the law require that it be done in a separate pleading? And that's where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's cross that bridge first.
The statute doesn't specifically address it.
Okay, so the statute doesn't address it. Is there a legal reason why, I haven't turned the page yet on Elliott's statement of claim,
right,
that if you filed therein a petition for extension of time, I can't consider it?
Yes. And I would say yes, and I'm going to provide.
Can consider it or can?
Oh, can consider, but should still bar.
Well, I might for another reason, but okay. So let me take a look at the question. But Elliot never makes a statement of claim that simple, so let me read all the pages here.
I never made one before.
I'm just looking for that part that may be the request for extension.
You kind of start, well, there's a little bit two, then it goes through five.
All right, let me take a look. So on the issue of whether in the pleading that Elliott filed called Statement of Claim under Certificate of Service, August 22, 2014, Elliott says that therein is a Chapter 733.702 request for extension of time. Mr. O'Connell, your response.
I think the allegations are there, are they crystal clear and so forth, or styled that way, but when you look at what's there, I think it would, at least it sets forth, I would say, the cause of action, so to speak, for an extension, yes.
Okay, and Mr. Morrissey, since you're standing, what do you say about that?
Judge, I thought it was in the rule, here's what I read from, it's actually from litigation under the Florida Probate Code, it's a treatise. And here's where I gained that understanding. It indicates that a personal representative or other interested party who fails to file or serve an objection within the time prescribed may get an extension of time to do so. The petition for extension of time should be filed in the probate court. This extension of time may be granted for good cause and only after notice, and it cites Rule 5.041. So I can provide this.
I got that.
Okay.
So yeah. Isn't that in this pleading?
Well, did he file a separate petition? No. Did he provide appropriate notice of a request for an extension of time under Rule 5.041? I would suggest to the court, no, he did not.
Okay. Well, that last suggestion is lacks merit.
Okay.
I mean, it's. It borders on preposterous what you just said to me. Okay? Well, the last thing that you said as a lawyer to me borders on preposterous. Okay, that he didn't give notice to everyone he served on this list that when he made a statement of claim, he was seeking an extension of the time.
Well, he did not give notice of a separate petition for extension.
Okay, well, we're past that point that the law doesn't require it. So, you know, Elliott is pro se.
Yeah.
You're a lawyer. When lawyers make preposterous positions, I remember that, and it affects the rest of how I deal with them on this case. You've got a preposterous check mark for what you last said to me.
Okay.
I know what that hornbook says, but you just said that you failed to provide interested persons with notice that what he was seeking was an extension of time based upon allegations that he has to be able to prove, not proven yet. Okay, you said no. He didn't provide notice. He served everybody, you know, Mr. Rose, and I mean, you know, the list here, Mr. Pankowski, Spolina, you know, I mean, everyone possibly, the creditor, adult children, I mean, so he provided that. And yet, so I want to believe you, and you told me he didn't do it.
No.
Judge, and he did do it.
It's certainly not my representation to court that wasn't noticed for hearing today.
He provided notice in a pleading that he was asking for me to consider extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Okay, that's clear, okay? And so, what you said to me, and I'll type it up if you want, and I'll publish it to every place that has to get published, that you said he didn't do that.
Well, Judge, I certainly don't want to argue with the court. I simply recited from this treatise that...
Okay. Mr. Morrissey, have a seat.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Rhodes, you want to pipe in on whether what the next step is? I think I know what it is. I think he's an officer of the court. Everyone here, a lawyer, knows what the next step could be.
Well, I was going to point out a couple things about the statement of claim.
Well, I haven't seen the statement of claim. Mr. O'Connell saw it and hasn't raised as a PR that the statement of claim is deficient, but I'm still at the point where I'm just having to decide what the procedural step is. Now because you told me that his statements of claim are set for today for hearing, that's true as well, correct? Mr. Morrissey told me speaking set for today. So
yeah, I filed that.
Okay. I don't know.
Right, okay, but let's, you know, at some point, just like I said last time, we have to start getting outside of the argument and pleading parts of the case and getting to the adjudicatory phase.
If you're right,
we need to do that here as well. And if I'm reading this as I think I am, now that I've seen it, I need to be able to determine whether Elliot's entitled to an extension of time with respect to what is on the surface an untimely claim, based upon what he has pled and what he's approved, are the circumstances that he claims.
And the only comment I was going to make was on the documents he attached to his statement of claim indicate that they were aware of this issue in August of 2013. So if you're considering granting someone an extension of time, I mean, they were aware that there was an issue concerning monies that Elliot claimed were due from the Simon Burns, that Simon Burns team was supposed to pay for him, that were being paid by a different trust after Simon died, and the documents he's attached on their face show that, you know, they're aware of this issue from October 2013. But, you know, the Tesher and Spallina, which is the basis of their alleged fraud, they resigned in January of this year. So,
yeah, we didn't get those emails till their production was turned over. Mr. Rose.
Well, that's part of what I have
right
to determine.
Okay.
And
that doesn't sound too, I mean, the procedure seems pretty clear on what I'm supposed to do.
If you grant him an extension of time, then Mr. O'Connell would have a period of time to object to the claim, and we go back to the...
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But I haven't decided to give an extension of time.
Right.
Unless everyone... let me ask you this, Mr. O'Connell. What is your position? First of all, let me ask you this. Assuming we treat Elliot's August 22, 2014 pleading as a petition for extension of time. Okay, you there with me?
I am. I'm listening. Right. Yes, sir.
Do you have a position on whether he should have an extension of time based upon the pleading? And are you allowed to, as PR, make that decision without requiring him to have a hearing?
There'd have to be let me answer the latter part. There'd definitely have to be a hearing on that, Your Honor.
All right. Okay. I couldn't do that. We'll have a hearing on that. Now,
yes,
the next question is...
On what?
Petition for extension of time.
Aren't we having that hearing?
Well, I don't know that it was set.
I set it for today. The hearing.
You said a statement of claim for hearing. You just said a petition for extension of time for hearing.
Well, they're woven together. Correct?
Well,
okay.
I mean, your pleading woven together, but the concepts are different.
Okay.
Okay, but let's come back.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question. At a hearing on a petition for extension of time, who participates?
It would be all interested persons, so Elliot, myself, and then we're back into the issue of the trustee potentially being a beneficiary. I know I say potentially because I know there's a ongoing argument between the people on my side about that, about who's the trustee, because that would be ostensibly the beneficiary.
But right now, without, the status of the case is Ted is trustee of Simon's Trust, correct?
Right.
So I know that there may be a removal action pending, but that hasn't been adjudicated. So we only can decide stuff on snapshots. So as we sit here today, Ted is trustee, an interested person?
Yes.
Okay. Is Mr. Morrissey's clients interested people?
I think Mr. Morrissey, he can correct me, but if he's appeared simply as beneficiaries of a trust, that would be done by Ted as trustee. He directly, to me, doesn't have standing, if that's the status that he's trying to use here, which I don't have his notice
of appearance. So answer that, Mr. Morrissey, how are you appearing?
I appeared on their behalf. My notice of appearance says on behalf of them. I didn't say as beneficiaries of the trust.
But are they the person in the capacity of the beneficiaries of the Simon Trust?
I don't think that there are any individual beneficiaries. I think the sole beneficiary is the trust of
right.
which my clients are beneficiaries.
Right.
Okay, so how would you have I agree, based upon what Mr. O'Connell said, that Ted, as your current serving trustee, has standing to participate. But how do beneficiaries of that trust have standing, separate and apart from Ted's participation in the jury?
Other than they are ultimately interested.
Well,
I mean,
ultimate interest is, that's not a term of art, that's a practical term. I mean, there's a lot of people who are interested in things, but the question is, do we draw the line at where Ted is trustee is?
And
I know Mr. Rose knows the answer to this legally because he's dealt with this before, true? You know whether your client as trustee is an interested person, you agree, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do the beneficiaries of the trust that Ted is the trustee of, are they interested persons in the probate estate?
I don't know the direct answer to that, but I do think they are interested persons in what Mr. O'Connell does. Because ultimately what Mr. O'Connell does is going to affect what goes into the trust and what goes into the estate. If Mr. O'Connell determines on his own...
Are you there as trustee to deal with that?
I am. I mean, they're represented by Mr. Morrissey.
Right.
As long as
I'm not sure. Okay, let's leave it at
yes.
Mr. Morrissey, I'm not sure if you have standing, but let me say this. And I'll say this to Elliot as the moving party and to Mr. O'Connell. I'd have to think what the harm is by having Mr. Morrissey participate. I mean, he can voice whatever he wants to voice. He can participate. Standing is kind of going to allow him to stick his 2 cents into the process, and maybe he'll come up with a gem or not. So it doesn't offend me that he participates.
Me neither. I'm just in the interest of moving
it
along. And full disclosure,
the
other people that would be interested, I want to give you a complete answer, Your Honor, would be the creditors.
Okay, well, and he's here.
And then
we're the major claimant of the estate.
Yeah, okay, so he's here. Okay, no problem with that. All right, so how much time for an evidentiary hearing on the petition for extension? Well, let me ask you this. Do you as PR object to his extension of time?
I admit to everyone, I haven't focused on that element.
Okay, I'll give everyone a chance to review
that. I couldn't give
a
straight answer.
How much time do you think a hearing on this is?
Can I ask Elliot a couple of questions? How many witnesses, yourself? Are you going to use Spallina? I mean, who do you anticipate in terms of the fraud that you're saying that occurred? Who do you need as witnesses?
I might need 2 or 3.
An hour?
Kind of sounds like an hour, Your Honor.
Please testimony.
I think Your Honor's been very generous with time, so I think an hour would probably be enough.
All right. Okay, so.
Your Honor.
Just so I'm clear, though.
Your Honor,
we're only addressing whether you're going to grant an extension, and then that'll trigger Mr. O'Connell's deadline to object.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
No extension, no statement of claim, there's the state, and then if there's an extension, then I deem them to be filed, because they're filed, and then Mr. O'Connell can then SPR object or not.
I'm still baffled. Why do we need a statement of claim here? Why isn't this just an expense I've given him that I've paid for of my dad's expenses?
Well, you have statement of claims filed.
Well,
so you want to abandon them?
If he could just pay it as reimbursement under the will.
So,
well, the will says he can pay it. That's what he's here trying to determine, according to what he filed.
Okay, so you got to be a little bit careful. Here's the thing. Right now, filed is our statement of claims.
Correct, but...
Okay, and that's under a statute that recognizes that process.
And I would drop those statements of claims today. If Mr. O'Connell can pay those expenses as expenses that I paid, that he's aware are my father's expenses.
Okay, so, and I understand that, but...
So why go through this whole hearing? Look, I got kids that have been thrown out of school because they violated a court order. They can't get into college.
Stop what you're doing.
Okay.
It's improper, so I've warned you about not...
Well, I'm sorry, but that's how this all's here.
Okay, well, no, this is a legal matter. Okay, so it's not personal to you or your children, it's legal. All right, having said that, right now you have statement of claims. There's no, you can't bargain with me when you say things like, well, you'll drop them if Mr. O'Connell does something. I'm not involved in that process. So.
Well, that's what he's coming for, to find out if I need a statement of claim.
Yeah, but I don't give advice. That's his job.
Well, Brian, are you saying?
Let me try.
You said a statement of claim is for
to reimburse Elliot, Your Honor, it has to fit under these categories. It has to either be a debt of my estate, a funeral expense, or a cost of administration. Well, we can easily throw out funeral expenses and cost of administration. I think we'll all, everyone, I'm sure Elliot would agree with that. So to be a debt, now we're back to the debt's got to be evidenced by a claim. The claim has to be timely and so forth for a fiduciary to pay it. That's the essence of the corner that
I'm in. Well, if the debt is post-mortem, would a beneficiary need to, or I mean, would somebody who submits you a bill that was paid after he's dead need to go get a statement of claim or just hand you the bill and get paid?
Well, because it's post-death can only be, a post-death debt can be paid, but the debt still has to have existed, has to be documented, and so forth.
Well, we have all that, but you don't need to go file a statement of claim if you're coming for a...
You actually do if it's something that happened.
Well, you're the one who's...
Okay, so Mr. Bernstein, I'm trying to move this along. Here's what Mr. O'Connell was saying. It may be that you paid physically something that you claim was a debt of Simon.
And I've given him the bill.
I'm not asking for your help.
Okay.
Okay. But what Mr. O'Connell is saying is the debt has to originate prior to Simon's death.
And I gave him the contract.
Okay, all right. So is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, because if there's a obligation of Simon, the obligation exists as of his date of death, and then the question becomes, the estate could pay it. That's one way the estate could pay if there was a debt of his, correct, Mr. O'Connell?
Right.
But if someone else pays it instead, can that person get reimbursed pursuant to the terms of the will? So Mr. O'Connell is saying is the origin is still a pre-death debt that has to get proven.
No.
You may say you gave
I gotcha.
Okay, prove
okay.
It exists.
I see what you're saying.
And then the other steps that you have to be able to prove, once I give you an extension of time under the statement of claim process. Now, you say, Elliot, that you don't need to do this through a statement of claim. Mr. O'Connell, SPR, says he's not going to pay this to you unless you have be able to proceed under the statement of claim rule and get an extension of time.
Well, he's the one who
if you
said.
Don't like that. I mean, you can sue him if you want and spend more time and money on that, but that's his position. I mean,
okay.
He just said
that's
it. He's not going to pay or reimburse you without going through the statement of claim process. And you file for that.
and not only that, Judge, but if a statement, if Your Honor did grant an extension and allow this claim, not only Mr. O'Connell would have an opportunity to object to the claim, but also others.
Right, well, and, I'm an interested person.
Yeah, sure. And if anyone objects, then the statute says Elliot now has within 30 days to file a separate civil action.
Right. So that's the way that goes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the law on that is clear.
Okay.
But I'm still not clear, and I don't know, Brian, maybe you can explain this to me.
Well, I'll talk to him about that outside.
Okay.
I think we've gone there. So,
Okay.
I'm going to give you folks a hearing date.
Okay.
As soon as possible.
Well, everything's as soon as possible.
Well, I've got serious issues of school.
Okay. Elliot, okay. Emergency, PR, have before me now on this case, the estate assignment, for Tuesday, January 27th, another motion for instruction for 2 hours. I don't know what that's on, I don't remember.
I think it's on the approval of a proposed settlement between Mr. O'Connell.
All right.
So, and I have that set for 3 to 5. Can we hear this issue during that time frame, because everyone's going to be here. That's what I was looking for. If we're already here on one matter, it would seem to make sense to kind of raise it then. So is that okay?
I have no objection.
Your Honor, I'm sorry, 27th?
27th at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a Tuesday.
Sure. That's all right, so fine from my end.
All right, so you can notice for hearing your petition for extension of time.
Okay.
Do I have to file a petition for extension of time?
No,
okay.
That your pleading of Order 22
thank you.
You have to be pretty check proof.
I know.
Okay.
It's up to hearing evidence law.
Okay, so have your witnesses ready to both sides, and we'll add it into what we'll do on Tuesday, January 27th. Okay, all right. On the way. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh,
what?
The other issues, right?
What's that?
I don't know, they have other issues.
Who's they?
Well, you had ordered us, last Thursday, you ordered us to set a hearing on a motion to dismiss Elliot's petition for the loose dead.
Okay.
You ordered us to set it for 11:30 today.
Set it for 11:30 today?
Well, this was for half an hour. You ordered me to set that for 11:30. We have time to hear it.
Well, you know, I made
and
it.
I didn't have
I apologize because I have an emergency hearing that's waiting at 11:30, so I didn't.
I'll contact to get the first available time that Mr. Bernstein's available. We'll get right back in here. And I assume you don't want to do
it shouldn't take that long.
So he's good.
Well, you want to do that on the 27th as well?
Sure.
No, I'd rather do it before then because Ted might not be able to even argue after
well,
that.
Well, I don't have time.
Before okay, that?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's tough. I don't want to bump anybody. I really don't.
He's having this fine.
How long do you need on the motion to dismiss?
There's 7 or 8 different bases. Probably, I think a half an hour was appropriate
it's,
by time.
It's a head motion to dismiss Elliot's petition to remove.
Right, and there's one ground that really, if I could have 30 seconds, you ordered him to join all the other beneficiaries.
Yes. That was in Simon's case?
Yeah. I never finished my first time.
Because you lied.
All right, Elliot, stop.
Okay.
You have to behave yourself. That was improper, what you just did.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, so
okay.
You know better.
Okay.
You've been before me. No, I know. Trying to give everyone a lot of time and attention here, and but you know, you have to start being a little bit more personally appropriate.
Sorry for my.
I have to warn you about a policeman.
I know.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's the policeman.
But in, you know, in the style of the case, we named every beneficiary and the parents of the adult beneficiaries. Mr. Morrissey, for example, is not mentioned in his clients aren't sued in this counterclaim to remove Ted, and they haven't even filed their motion to dismiss yet. You know, that's one issue that could be done in the short term. He could amend his complaint to add all the people that he needs to add to a removal action, and that would eliminate the first round of my motion and also allow the others to respond, and we can have it all heard at once. Otherwise, you're going to eventually have to let Mr. Morrissey be heard. And
do you understand the concept of what they're going
Your Honor, the first thing is he misstates it. You ordered something in Sy's case. This is Shirley's.
Well, no, putting that aside, well, if in...
Then his argument's wrong.
The petition to remove Ted is in whose estate?
Shirley.
It's in the trust construction case. We filed an independent action to construe the trust.
Your motion is in the trust case?
In Shirley.
In Shirley's trust case or Simon's trust case?
Shirley's trust case.
Your order is in Simon's trust case.
We can.
Your order came in Simon's.
We can just come back and argue with it.
Right, so,
that's fine.
Yeah, that.
So if you want, I can give you a half an hour if you want.
I don't think the hearing's going to be that. I think we could get that done at the same time, the 27th.
Okay. So, let me make sure I understand this. The petition to remove Ted is as trustee of what trust?
Shirley.
Shirley Trust. So, there's also a Simon Trust, correct?
Correct.
And there's no petition to remove?
Oh, there is. And actually, what they've done there is almost insane. They went around your back. Wait, they went around your back. I filed the petition for Sy's estate, and I just, or for Sy's trust, excuse me. Thanks, Sam. And it ended up with Judge somebody, Kieser. And then they, instead of notifying Judge Kieser that you were wanted, Kieser, that you wanted to hear this case, they went and filed motions to dismiss with Judge Kieser without noticing him that this is your case and should be heard by you. They, in fact, Alan Rose drafted the order saying...
There's a Simon Trust case.
You made me file that.
Is it a Simon Trust case?
I think he filed an independent petition to remove... I didn't know it was Judge Kieser, and if it was there, we should get it transferred to your honor. I don't know.
They filed motions in the case.
Slow down. There's a freestanding Simon Trust case.
A new filing, yes, sir. It's got a new case number.
So it's brand new. So you're going to file, or you filed, or have not yet filed?
I filed
a petition to remove Ted in that case.
That's the complaint, like you told me.
It's your complaint.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
You told me to file a complaint, new case. I did all that. I put your name on there.
Let's do this. Okay. So here's what I'm getting at. If what you want me to hear on the motion to dismiss is the motion to dismiss Elliot's petition to remove Ted in Shirley Trust. Okay. Mr. Rose is saying that for purposes of your petition to remove, you're required to join in others in addition to Ted.
I served him, just the people in that case, in his trust construction
case. So
right.
Are Mr. Morrissey's clients involved in Shirley's trust case?
They're parties to my complaint, but they're not parties to the counterclaim. I mean, if that's enough for your honor that they can come and argue.
Yeah, all right. Let's kind of slow down the paperwork. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
People would be, all right, so, I mean, we're going to do this. The 27th will be a busy afternoon. We'll hear that as well.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Should we move the time back?
I can't bump other people.
Oh, okay.
I'm
all right. If you can do it, I can do it.
It'll take about 5 minutes for that first one. That's the 27th at 3.
Yeah, which we have scheduled.
Okay, so all this is going to be on the 27th.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Say goodbye. Have a nice day. Okay. You probably don't want
it. You have something bad?
No, I think I have allergies, but just to be safe.
Okay.
Have a good day.
I'd rather be safe. See you. See you.
Hello. How are you doing? How are you? I'm going to say good morning to you this morning.
Good morning. Okay, 11:30 hearing.
Okay.
So now you're going to have this a hearing on your, I guess, allegations that are in your claim that say,
oh, you
were basically defrauded by Selena, therefore, into thinking you didn't have to file a claim, and you didn't until
I don't.
August. But
you're saying I do, so that's where it could become problematic. I want you to go home and review that, because I've had good, competent counsel review it, and that could create a problem that you're forcing a creditor claim on a non. I'm not a creditor. I'm a reimbursement. Well, and I'm just telling you to be safe. Go home and check that because
people. Checked it.
So you're sure I need a statement of claim?
Yeah.
For a post payment.
It's
on his
because
debt.
Because it's a pre-obligation. The
but
payment
that's
was post.
Proven.
The payment was post, but the agreement or the deal
I'm paying
with your
on the contract.
Was pre.
Right, but that contract.
He went into the contract.
But you know that contract was valid.
But you still have to. Well, you have to prove up the contract. But let's. Don't get there
okay.
yet. Let's get there in terms of the claim.
Right.
Again, has to be timely, and I think you agree.
Well, it's, no, I don't. Meaning, I don't have a creditor claim that was supposed to be
you
timely.
You want a creditor's claim?
No, no. My payment didn't start till post.
I know.
So I didn't
but
have
it's
anything
based
pre.
On an obligation that was pre.
Yes.
Candace
no,
has
I get it.
Again, it's because it originated before
right.
he died. It was his contract. He started.
I get
before
that,
I
but I paid on a contract
after he died.
Right.
But the original
but you did,
origin was prior to his death.
Yes.
That well, that
took
doesn't
over.
Need to be. Okay. Well,
that's
let's just check. I'm being careful because
okay.
I don't
and
have.
I know you're being careful.
Yes.
Did
right.
we file an additional file an extension request, or is that he said
no?
I think
said
he
just
fine.
Put it on the record.
I would just start doing your thinking.
Oh, can I get your card, sir? Good seeing you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Because I guess they told me they're going to pay it or they'd already
right,
paid it. Or
I didn't even know that was his bill. All of a sudden he told me I'm paying. Actually, what he said was, we're just going to take the money out of your kid's trust till I get liquid cash in the state. Of course, there's no accounting, so we don't know what was liquid that day, but I'm sure there was enough.
Right.
But so they forced Oppenheimer to start paying out of trust that weren't supposed to be used. Oppenheimer objected, explained and said, oh, don't worry, I'll pay it back. It's just temporary blah.
Right,
and he bled it to nothing.
In the estate.
And so... So yeah, it's clear. And what Alan Rose just said about us knowing about it in August, no, we didn't get those mails.
But that's how you have to, because you heard the grounds on an extension is that you didn't get
or fraud.
Notice
right.
or fraud. That, so okay,
right. good.
Which, right. clear. From us. Right.
Which I know you're an expert on fraud, but you know you just need to make sure you've got that ready to go because that's what you know how he'll be. He'll say, call your first witness.
Yeah,
so you'll be,
I'm
you'll
ready.
Be able to say. Okay, I didn't do a timely statement of claim
yeah.
because I got defrauded in his house.
That's it. I don't even
okay.
think I really need any witnesses.
Yeah, well, you want to have
Who's thinking?
Yeah, I guess it's yourself, really, because you sort of heard it and were told it. And
right, and I've got evidence.
Sure, it's not hearsay. That's
well, I've
all.
Got the evidence from production.
And you'll have to get them into evidence.
I do. In
okay.
The, oh, well, in the hearing, I'll do that.
Okay.
But it's pretty clear.
If they're sent, were they sent to you or somebody else?
Who?
The emails.
The emails.
The production was sent to me.
I know, but hear me. The emails themselves.
They were from Spallina to Oppenheimer.
You might need Oppenheimer or somebody here who can say, yeah, I got these emails. So they're not, they're authenticated and they're not hearsay.
Okay.
Get me there?
I got it.
I doubt it because Oppenheimer, I'm suing in another case. For the fraud on these accounts, on trust accounts of my kids, and they're dead on that. Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, but you have somehow you've got a. You know, so it's good for the goose. Good for like if they brought in a letter, say from or an email from a third party, you'd probably jump up and say, at this point, that's hearsay.
Well,
see what I'm saying.
But I'm going to say that those emails are from their production, and
I gotcha.
And
well, but they could be very technical.
And let me
and
check
say,
who I see what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to go through this and then and fall apart on something like that.
Okay. Got it.
All right, it was fun,
so
folks.
Would that be, would I file for their production on those emails?
I think what you'll do
subpoena
is,
those
what,
emails?
Is this, I'm not giving you advice.
Right,
like,
I know.
Why don't you just talk to Rose and Morris and say, hey, look, I'm going to be bringing these people in. Let's just agree these things are authentic. And
then
oh, I bet they will. Because if you're going to say, I'm going to bring all these folks in here.
Okay, right.
So just write them a letter saying.
Yeah, look, can we cooperate on this at least
right.
And not waste the court's time? I mean, who's going to really dispute those emails or aren't originals and valid and
right.
Stuff?
Right.
They
will,
so.
Because
well,
they're insane. What? Insane people doing
that.
Insane things.
Oh, I see it.
Some of this is really insane. Wait till you see what's coming in the Oppenheimer, which I'm going to be bringing into that.
Oh, okay.
It's awful that they operated without signature pages on trusts. And now we have two trustees who are listed in the document, lawyers, who say they were never trustees of these trusts. Welcome to this year's fraud.
Yeah, so that one I like.
Oh, it's
good.
Huge. Oh, as good as Kimberly Moran signing dead men's signatures.
Yeah, no, that's still the best.
You know when I went to the police and I said, the sheriff and I said,
what are they doing with Spallina?
Who?
What's
the sheriff?
The sheriff, or the bar, or anybody.
Well, I think the sheriff was waiting for me to go through production and see if we could corroborate more evidence against them.
Right, okay.
So we've just brought to the sheriff yesterday tons. At least, I think I've got like 17 more crimes going through production. Oh, this is insane. Bank fraud, operating a trust without signature pages, fraud. There's so many frauds. The insurance schemes.
Just my own edification. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. But how involved, okay, Tesher and Spallina. Is this something Spallina did?
Tesher's the key guy. He's trying to say Tom.
Well, that's what I've heard.
Right,
that's
hiding,
I'm just asking you. Yeah.
They're hiding the assets behind it. Everything, first of all, he's a co-trustee.
Right.
And a co-PR. Yeah. So he can't say, oh, it was my partner's account. That whole argument is.
Okay.
I know. But when you hear their arguments,
right.
This
no,
is
it
how
helps.
Silly
yeah.
They are. Tesher was the lead. He's my brother's friend. Spallina's the lackey. Tesher's the guy with all the experience and everything.
Right, so I guess they're trying to, maybe
he's trying to get rid of his liability.
Yeah, maybe Spallina's trying to say Tesher's good.
Right.
Saying I did it.
Right. Which
I,
doesn't.
Which I think is the
but
story.
If you read the police report, he said after discussing it with Tesher,
oh, all right.
I okay. Then committed the fraud of document, but me and him discussed the crime.
All right.
So they're
okay.
They're both in
good.
Okay,
it doesn't, I mean, it's just, now that I'm more conversant.
It's where
you're going to
have a lot of claims against these guys.
Okay, yeah. Well,
I mean,
I think I'm teeing up some ideas on what the claims are. So, but anyway, okay, I'll leave. Till the next time.
Much, Brian.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun.
It's not. I get my kids are going to miss college. I got a kid that's not getting into colleges over this stuff.
I wonder if you could re-engineer your discussions with Rose. Remember they're going to pay that tuition for a while? I don't even like the form of it.
Oh, Oh, no, are you kidding? I told my son this. You're going to miss it. You're possibly at school over this, but you're going to have damage. When you get those damages, when you pay through school and everything else off Mr. Rose. Right now, Rose is dead. He failed a court order. And it says, with or without an agreement, you need to pay. And he violated that. He's got nothing for me that says I said go violate it. In fact, he said, I don't care what you say anymore. I'm going to the court and getting an order. He got the order. And then he didn't make the payment. He's in a lot of trouble, and this caused so much damage to my kids. I got a kid who's so depressed. He's never been a depressed day in his life.
What
ever.
School does he want to go to?
We don't even know. We can't even apply.
Oh, okay.
We can't even apply without the transcripts that they're holding.
Yeah, the school. Yeah, I know they all do private schools.
Hopefully. Right. Which I'll be coming to the estate and saying those were all obligations aside. Well, though, see, Rose tried to say the balance due.
Right.
What I filed isn't the balance due yet. That's just up to what I paid. Then when they stopped paying, the balance started. So that's the amount still owed. And I'm still going to make that as a claim of the estate. I think a problem. Is he giving you a trust accounting yet?
No.
Have you asked?
Yes. Yeah.
In writing?
Joey did. But
and did Ted give you a Lick Holdings and all those companies yet?
No, but I'll have to ask her, unless she's got it.
By the way, I just found an SB Lexington EBA.
Yeah, we saw the email.
Did you see the asset value?
That was, what's
over it? Over $50 million? That's my dad's company's EBA.
Yeah.
So, I see, that's why I've been worried about this insurance policy. Without seeing the policy, see, my belief is that LaSalle National Trust is still the primary beneficiary. They're saying the contingent beneficiary is this missing trust. Well, who cares? LaSalle National Trust is an entity.
Yeah.
They are the beneficiary. They're holding a VEBA that I believe has millions of dollars of assets of my father and
mother. Now, we're going to write on that and see what we can turn up. We did get that one. Okay.
Thank you again for everything.
Until
the next time.
Yeah.
Drive here.
Oh. That's when you go bad.
But you're saying you for copyright. You get a check on the profit.
I want to take you this credible. I want to take you this credible spot.
What you just said.
Yeah.